Hello.
Good morning, Dustin. It's Tommy here, Senior Financial Advisor from Oakview. Mate, how you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Fantastic this lovely morning. Just calling you back in regards to that review that we're pushing back half an hour.
Yeah, sorry about that, mate. I just had to do my tax return. I thought I had him at 10.
No, that's fair enough, mate. Big day, big day. Have you got some time now?
Yeah, mate, yeah. Just got me my own. Yeah, all good, as long as you can hear me. Go for it.
Yeah, no, perfect. So what we usually do for these reviews is I'll check security first, then I'll send you through your review pack. If you're driving, I'll explain what documents are in there and just make sure you don't sign them until you've had a chance to, you know, get home and have a look at them.
Yeah, righto. I'll be home in about 5 minutes anyway, so I'll have a look.
Oh, no worries. So during the review, that should be plenty of time then, mate. Just before we get started, so these calls are recorded for training and quality purposes. Is that okay, Dustin?
Yep.
Perfect. And for the security of your account, so I'm registered with ASIC as an advisor. My number is 1273105. Are you able to confirm your full name, date of birth, and address, please?
Dustin Julian Chlowski, 27989, 102 Gideon Road, Adelaide, New South Wales.
Fantastic. So no movements there on the address. Now, when I go through these reviews, we do update your fact find that you filled out last year with us, and that's just making sure if there's any major significant changes in your finances that may impact the advice.
I got one in the mail the other day. What's that about? Is that what you're talking about?
It could be. Let me just have a look. We usually go through these ones over the phone, but what we've sent you is like a beneficiary form, like who you nominate to receive your super and stuff like that.
Oh, is that going to be done every year, does it?
No. So once we got them in place, you can kind of choose whether they expire or not. And I don't think it was maybe done properly last time, so I wanted to just run that by you this time.
Okay.
Easy peasy. Now, before I jump into your fact find, just want to double check. Anything in particular you want to get out of this year's review? I believe it would be your first with us.
Yeah, that's only first. That's all new to me.
No, that's fair. So normally we go through a bit of an update on, you know, how the super's going. We'll see if we need to make any changes to the investments or any of the strategies. You do have an insurance policy, so we'll touch on that and those beneficiaries. And then if there's any other advice you need in any other area, whether it's, you know, investing outside super or anything like that, we can run through that as well.
Yep.
Beautiful. As far as your current details, so we've got you down as a crane operator, earning about 140 grand.
Yeah, I just did my tax. I think I was at 160 something this year.
160,000. Alrighty. And we had you being able to put aside around about $200 a week in, like, I guess you'd call it surplus cash flow.
Yeah, I'd say that hasn't changed, to be honest.
Yep.
Just depends on the pay. You know, if I get good pay, I'll put 500 away. And, you know, but then it might be a fortnight. So, yeah, average around 200.
Could fluctuate a little bit.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. And you're doing some salary sacrifice into your super. We had that set at about 5% of your wages.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
That just brings me just underneath that threshold, doesn't it?
Yeah. So if you sit there at 160,000, I'll just have a quick look at what that looks like. Because obviously if you do a percentage base, it's going to go up as long as on top of your contributions from work. And now that we've hit the new financial year, it's actually gone up to 12%. So that's going to increase it slightly as well.
Oh, the company has to pay 12%.
Yeah, so it was 11.5 last year. It's just been slowly stacking up. The 12% is the last increase. It was a spread over 5 years.
That's right, yeah. Make everyone pay a bit more than their super so they can tax you when it gets to that 3 mil mark.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is, like, people our age, we're probably going to... It wouldn't surprise me if a few people our age actually hit 2 or 3 mil. And that'll affect us quite a bit down the line in 30 years.
Sorry, I just lost you there.
No, you're right, mate. I was just saying that I think most people our age will probably hit somewhere close to that in 30 years' time, so it probably will affect us quite a bit more than people think.
Yep.
Now, with your contributions, you're kind of looking at around 27, 28 grand, so you're just under that $30,000 threshold. Now, there is something called the carry-forward rule, so if you did go over, they would look back 5 financial years for anything that you haven't used up first, so that can be a way of at least getting you away from the extra taxes or letting you do a little extra.
Yeah.
Cool. But for your age, I mean, looking at your super, you've got quite a bit more than most people your age. You're on a high income, lots of contributions. You're in a pretty aggressive portfolio. So as far as the average goes, you're $246,824 today. You've got a solid $100,000 more than most people do at your age.
Yeah, sweet. There was a bit shitty though from what, February till April or whatever it was, you know, the whole, I guess it would have been the America and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you manage to sort of...
I guess everyone was in the same boat though.
True. I mean, my job, I guess, is to go, okay, we can't control the weather when it comes to the stock market going up and down, but we can at least check if your options are doing well compared to the ones next year.
Yeah.
Now, you do obviously log in, keep an eye on it a little bit. How often do you sort of check your balance?
I'd say monthly, something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. As long as it's not one of those, you know, some people who literally log on every single day and they're panicking every time the stock market bumps up or down, which, you know, sways with the news.
Yeah, so I just look at monthly. I've sort of avoided, I think, when Trump and that come into power, like, oh, God, that's taking a hit. I think I got down like 220 or something, didn't I, one stage?
The lowest I can see is about, 212.
Oh, yeah, see?
Then shoots from, that was in 9th of April, and then from then till now it's gone up to 246, and that's just how quickly that can happen. It can go up and down 30, 40, 50 grand a year. Because like when it comes to the super, all of the returns with those portfolios, it's all percentage-based. So if you've got 30 grand and it goes up or down 10%, it's going up and down 3 grand. For you, that's more like going up and down $25,000, $75,000 in a single year. So it kind of compounds. Now, it's all good if it's like averaging out over a long period of time, because when you're in that high growth portfolio like you are, 90% in like shares and property, it's going to shoot up 10, 20, 30% in a single year. That may happen for 5 years, and then the stock market crashes and it goes down 30. And you go, okay, no worries. As long as that averages out at around about, or say 10% plus, then you're pretty well on track for what we call your risk profile, if that makes sense.
I might track it for that risk profile.
It's only been just over a year, but I've just done a 12-month snapshot, and you've cleared just under 13% after fees and taxes and premiums.
Okay, that's obviously good.
Yeah, it's above what we'd expect.
Yeah.
Now, long-term, that portfolio has been hitting a solid sort of 14, 15, 16% over the last 5 years. So it's doing its thing, but there's a couple of things I wanted to sort of bring to your attention today, which is in that DocuSign pack that I'm about to send you, it's got a snapshot table of all of your investments. Have you managed to look at any of the individual investments under the hood before?
No, see, I haven't been run through that before. I see I get emails saying, you know, this is your, what do they come up? I just see one this morning.
Like when it buys and sells?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm just pulling up in my driveway. I'll just quickly jump out and I'll go through it with you over the phone.
No worries. So I'll shoot through that email now. It should take about a minute to come up.
Yeah, shoot it through now. I'll be inside in a sec.
Now, just while you're making your way in, we're going to sort of tie all this into your goals. So I'm just looking at what you were talking about last year and kind of tying it into that retirement side of things too. So we had you wanting to retire at the age of 60, which is as early as you can with super, on about... About $1,500 a week after tax, obviously, with maybe the mortgage paid off.
Yeah.
Cool. As far as the other goals go, it was smashing out the mortgage. You were looking at getting some investment properties and just making sure you've got some, just having professionals on board to sort of help you step through those life stages as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything sort of changed for you guys? Any new focuses for the next year, 3 year, 5 year?
Not really. I do want to get an investment, but it's just the wife's not completely sold on it. She just thinks it's more money coming out of her everyday living expenses.
As far as like an investment property goes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit tough these days because you can get some positively geared properties that kind of pay for themselves, but that's with the interest rates the way they are, it's a little bit hard.
I'm happy to pay like 100 or something out of pocket on top a week, you know, but I think I really just need to nut it out and actually show her on paper and go, look, it'll be tough for the first couple of years, but then after a while, you know, it'll get cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah. And I mean, property in Australia is pretty fantastic, right? It's always one of the easiest investments to get a bit of capital growth and rent out of, especially if you hold it for long enough. Obviously, some areas kind of stall and you don't end up with much. But if you're ever curious, we can always look at other types of investments too that are kind of similar to your super, and they're a lot less buy-in to worry about. Like, you're not having to borrow money to get into them. You can just kind of chuck a bunch of money in weekly and let it build up in the background if that's something that might suit you guys better.
Just like shares and stuff, is it?
Similar to it. So you know how your super's kind of spread out with all these different investment options on a provider like Hub, and it mixes in shares and property and infrastructure and term deposits and all that kind of stuff. You can literally get Hub24 accounts personally as well and do the exact same thing.
Ah, righto. Okay.
So something to sort of think about and come back to, but obviously probably still probably the A game in Australia, but a mix of both is always nice.
Oh, look, I wouldn't mind, you know, just being like, oh, yeah, I've got an extra couple $100, I'll throw it in against this. Is that something like you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll invest $500 or $1,000 into this? And is that what you're talking about?
You know how we've got that sort of risk profile for your super, how you're in the high growth? We do a risk profile for people personally as well, because it's obviously different because you can access the money. And then we kind of tailor a portfolio there and go, okay, maybe we start with, I think a lot of the minimums are about 10,000 for these types of managed funds.
Yeah, right.
And then you go, oh, I'll put $200 a month in is kind of the minimum. It's like $50 a week.
Yep. Okay. So, all right. I'll start to think about it anyways.
Yeah. Come back to it in a year or two.
Yeah. What's that called in itself? Talking to a bit of research.
So the way I'd kind of call it is IDPS. It's kind of our acronym for it.
IDPS, yep.
But when you type that in, it does come up with a whole bunch of American things too, and the acronym kind of can be a little bit misleading. But think of it as like managed funds. It's what we call them. And that's kind of what super is. It's a managed fund where you've got a provider or a fund manager and they're doing all the investments under the hood.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, awesome. No worries.
Now, when it comes to sort of the super side of things, we've got that average that we're aiming for. When I look at that portfolio spread that you've got, so yes, it's kind of hit above the target we're aiming for this year. You've got eight options in there, and without just throwing too much technical jargon at you, most of them are these low-fee ETFs, which are very kind of cheap ways to buy into these shares, because on the flip side, Hub24 is what we call a wrap platform, which is just a fancy term for like a fully featured investment platform or super fund. It's got 1,300 investment options and all the bells and whistles you could ask for, which means it's a bit more expensive than a traditional fund. So we offset that with the cheaper investments under the hood.
Okay.
Now, out of the eight that you've got, it's spread between everything, right? Australian shares, international shares, even gold's in there, and property. And they've gone up anywhere between 4%. One of them's gone up 32%. Gold went up 41.5% because they had a fantastic year. Out of the eight, seven, fantastic. One of them underperformed at a flat, pretty much zero, which was the Aussie shares portion. So when that happens, I kind of go, okay, one out of eight, that's pretty natural. You never sort of pick all eight every single year. It tends to average out. If there were three or four of them that had done terrible, I would probably rebuild the portfolio and switch out a whole bunch of options. If one out of eight does average, I kind of go, well, maybe we see how it goes for one more year. And if it underperforms 2 years in a row, then we probably replace it.
Okay. All right. So Yeah, okay. I've just opened up this DocuSign thing you've sent me.
Yeah, so when you get in there and it lets you mm-hmm. review the documents, the first one should be a white one with like an Oak View logo at the top, and that's like a summary. And then the second one, big blue table with Hub 24.
Performance.
Yeah, that's the one. So left-hand side is all your options. The very right-hand column is like percentage return for each option.
Ah, righto. So that Better Bank Hybrid only did 4%.
Correct.
Physical gold. Yeah, righto. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even have any physical gold, did I? Oh.
Yeah, you had a good.
Oh, yeah.
It's up to $20,000
there for income in period. Zero.
So you know how you've got like properties that go up and down in value and they also pay rent?
Yep.
And shares, usually they go up and down in value, but they pay dividends. The gold funds, they don't pay dividends or rent. They just go up and down in value. It's like if you hold a gold bar, it doesn't pay you anything. It just goes up and down.
Yep.
Okay. So everything's split on that table between income and capital growth, and then it gives you a bit of a total.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So
just lost.
That's all right.
Sorry, one sec. I've just somehow gotten out of it. Yep. All right. As you were.
Cool. So when it comes to the portfolio side of things, like there's been no major changes with Hub 24 in terms of its fees or features. So there's not really any reason to look at switching super funds after the first year. Mm-hmm. And the portfolio side of things, what I wanted to just double check with you is just a retouch on the risk profile questionnaire that we did with you. So that kind of gauges where we're aiming for, because if I look at that end goal, $1,500 a week after tax. I'll do a little bit of a calculation with you. So that's $78,000 a year. And when you get to retirement, you kind of want to be able to put it in something conservative, right? Because it's, you know, we grow it now, but you probably don't want it to be high growth aggressive at 59. And then you lose half your super a year before you go to access it. Do you know what I mean? So if you build it up to say $1.5 million in today's value, you can put it in a conservative portfolio that pays 5%. You can take out 5%, and there's your $1,500 a week, and it kind of just stays stable until you pass away. That's kind of the tippy top goal. Now, with inflation, that goes up. Cost of living goes up. So in 30 years' time, $1.5 million isn't going to buy what it currently does.
Nah, no way. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's
better
where you kind of... Well, we kind of go 1.5 mil in today's dollars, and then we account for inflation, and that might be 2, 2.5, 3 mil by the age of 60 in what the balance actually has to get to.
Okay.
Okay. So when it comes to inflation, there's a few sort of risk profile questions that we go through. So I'll just quickly run through them with you now, and I'll walk through if we need to change anything.
Yep.
So cost of living goes up. The question is, are you comfortable taking on that sort of fluctuations and volatility to grow your funds faster than the cost of living? Do you just want to keep pace with the cost of living, or are you kind of like, nah, it doesn't bother me?
I don't know. I think I'm prepared to take the risk just for another couple of years. You know, I'm still young enough to, you know, accept the loss and recoup, I guess.
And this is more, it's like a snap psychological profile just to see what your gut feelings are, and then I'll kind of go through them and make a recommendation.
Yeah. No, well, I think, you know, I'm only halfway through working life. Still got bloody, 30 years almost to go.
Yeah, well, if you're talking 60, that's, you know, 25 years. And the longest, like, average time frame, or sorry, minimum time frame for an investment is a decade. So if you buy a company or a property, it's suggested that you hold it for at least 10 years to try and get a return out of it.
Yeah.
So we've got 25 years to go. What's the most aggressive investment you've ever made? You've obviously got the house side of things.
Triple shit. You know.
Have you had shares before or an investment property?
No. So it's all new. You know, even getting the house was a big step for us. I've always wanted a house, just the missus once again. So, but now that we've got it, it's been a good thing. And I think the same will apply to investment property. I think it's just a bit daunting. And then once you get into it and you get in the rhythm of it, and you realise it's not so bad.
Yeah, and yeah. It is. It's a big sort of like emotional step for a lot of people to step into each new period. It's well and good to get a rental and have a job, and then you buy all this debt to get a house and the rest of it. Yeah, it takes a bit of time to work into it. Some people just, you know, as soon as they hit 18 and 22, they just jump it into every risky thing they can find. But for most people, it does take a few years at each step. So you're obviously comfortable with the idea of borrowing for an investment property. Do you reckon at some point in your working life you'd be comfortable borrowing to get into shares and managed funds, or is property probably as far as you'd go?
No, I've always liked the idea of shares and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's something I could sort of do, you know. The missus can just do her thing. I'll just do shares on my own behalf, you know.
Yeah, and as a bit of a warning, like, we never do any of the GFC-style margin lending. Like, we're not sitting there getting you 50 grand and borrowing $5 million on your name to try and leverage up. But there's certain things that you can do down the line. Like, you know, you've got equity in a property, you can buy another one, or you can buy some shares with it. So there's all kinds of things you can sort of diversify into. Last time your super did go down, what was the general feeling? Was it a high level of anxiety, some mild concern? Were you excited about buying opportunities? What's the general gist?
Well, I didn't really faze me, but then I was also like, well, it is a good time to sort of buy on the low, you know. But I didn't really follow if I did my portfolio, did buy anything in that low dip period.
Yeah, so most of the time you've got your, like, your contributions, and every time they go in, that buys in, and that kind of helps us do that. We'll call it dollar cost averaging at the end of the day. You did have $2,000 kind of buy in on the 10th of April, the day after the low. So that was a pretty good timing for your employer to chuck that in, and it went in pretty well straight away.
Yeah, sweet.
One of the good things about these wrap platforms like Hub and NetWealth and Macquarie and all these guys is that they get to kind of do direct trading, where a buy gets locked in instantly and then it takes time to process, whereas a lot of other funds, the money may get sent off and it may take a week or 2 weeks to actually buy in.
Yeah, I think that's sort of like when I was with CBUS and I sort of went from higher growth back to conservative, and it took like 2 weeks to... Is that sort of the same sort of thing?
Oh, a little bit different, because even if we were to switch your investments with this, it would lock in prices instantly,
Yeah.
But it does take time for, like, them to sell down investments and buy other ones. What
yeah,
I just
okay,
do is that when the contributions go in, they can be allocated straight away without a week.
Okay.
So similar, but a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what type of returns do you expect out of your super? The question kind of ranges from 0 to 8% or above, and obviously 10% is kind of the goal for high growth. It is a bit of a silly question, but just want to get in your own words what you're aiming for.
I just want a comfortable retirement, if I make it that far, you know.
That's fair. Would you say you're kind of going for the tippy top that you can?
Yeah, bloody hell. Why not?
Why not? And last question I've got for you, Dustin, is when the market drops again. So I mentioned at the start that you're in these ETFs. They're really cheap ways to buy into the different assets, but they follow those markets up and down. They're really volatile, again, up or down 30% in a single year. When that happens, the reactions are what we do. Sometimes people want to sell it all to cash. They want to hold on for 12 months and wait for it to bounce back, or they use it as a buying opportunity, maybe put the foot on the gas or chuck a contribution in. Where do you kind of range on the scale?
Oh, I reckon like buy on low, you know.
Buy low, sell high?
Yeah, I guess,
So that kind of puts you in high growth, right? You're in the category that you're already in the investments, and it sounds like it definitely suits you. Just bear in mind that because this is that first year, there's all the likelihood in the world that sometime over the next 12 months, maybe this year, maybe early next year, something's going to happen, there's going to be a crash. And what we're looking for is those contributions to keep going in and buy, and then when we review it, we go, how did it go compared to the ones next to it?
Yep.
Now, the options, the ETFs are low fee. You've got actively managed funds, which try to sometimes do some downside protection, but they're a lot higher cost as well. We can build portfolios of any style, but the index sort of passive low fee style, that's what you're in currently.
Okay.
Now, you do have one option, which is a bit more actively managed in your portfolio. So we do what's called a core and satellite. Most of it's all in that passive style, and there's a little bit off to the side in the active, trying to kind of outperform the market. We never kind of go fully one way or the other.
Righto.
Now, the question I've sort of got for you is, you're already salary sacrificing, you're already in high growth. You're kind of doing the two perfect things to get you on track for that goal. If you did want to go crazy with it, you could go from 90% growth assets to 100%. We do have an aggressive portfolio, and we do also have a leveraged one, which actually goes a little bit above 100%, where they actually borrow 10 to 20% on the super, and they kind of invest 120% of your money. So I just wanted to run the three of them by you. Are you comfortable with this high growth at the moment? Do you want to go more aggressive? What are you feeling?
I don't know. I didn't know there was a more aggressive.
Well, we never start there, because if you chuck someone's money 100% into growth assets and it goes down 50% in a single year, it's definitely not a good look after the first year. I might even...
Would you say it only goes down if you sell, though? What, you still always own the stocks, don't you?
That's exactly right. So what tends to happen is all the stocks and companies and properties go down, contributions go in and buy more of them, and then when it goes up, they all go up. Now, that's really good when you're 35, 45, not so good at 55. So we kind of go pretty crazy to start with, and then we kind of scale it back when you get closer to retirement.
Well, I'm happy to go a little bit more aggressive, even if for the next, you know, 4 years, 5 years.
Now, what I was kind of thinking was the market's still pretty iffy for the next 6 months, so there's all the chances in the world that we kick it up a notch and it starts tumbling down. I was thinking maybe we hold off until next year, and then we can kind of mix it in and go, we're kind of out of this trade war.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll take your advice on that then.
Cool.
We'll leave it as is, yeah.
Just for now, we'll keep an eye on it. And then let's say next year comes around and that one option is still underperforming and the markets have gone down, perfect opportunity to switch the option out, go more aggressive, and if you guys are interested in other types of investments or advice, we can kind of mix it all together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool.
Yep.
With your beneficiaries, so we've sent you those forms. Were you just trying to make sure that, was it Kristen receives all of the super or?
Yeah, so we just got married last year. I mean, a month or two ago. So yeah.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I'm trying to find that paperwork. I don't know where she put it.
When it comes to the beneficiaries, what you've really got to choose is yes, who you nominate, but you've got two options. You can make it a lapsing nomination that expires after 3 years, or non-lapsing, which doesn't. And you can make it, it's a bit of a silly option, but you can make it legally binding or you can make it not legally binding.
Yeah. I think I'll leave it all to her for now. So if something bad happens, if it does, fingers crossed it doesn't, but
yeah,
quite confident she'll dish it out to the kids anyways. And
yeah, so if you do that, you can do a non-lapsing binding nomination, which is like it's not going to expire and it's legally binding. And then when it comes to the life insurance...
Oh, I'll just write that non-lapsing, eh?
Yep,
that's the one I want to tick.
Binding.
Binding. And then I won't have to do that form again until I change it later on.
Correct.
All right, yeah.
When it comes to the life insurance you got with MetLife, are you wanting that to go same direction or?
I'll leave that as is for now, yeah. The half a mil or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'll quickly run through that in a sec, but we've got the insurances in there. Just bear in mind that the insurances are already set to Kristen. It's under her maiden name. Have you guys gone through and done all the paperwork to get the names updated?
Yeah, so we're still... Yeah, so... We did get the, the marriage certificate and stuff. They misspelled my mother's maiden name. So
you didn't get that.
Send it back. Yeah, so it'll be, another 9 weeks or something now. So But yeah, we can change her surname on your, so it'd just be Yudlowsky.
Okay.
Same surname as mine, I guess.
So what I'll do, the form that you've got from us would be Hub24. I'll get one flicked over for MetLife just to get the updated name on there.
Okay, so I'll have to...
Yeah, only problem is they're, because they're like legal agreements or legally binding forms.
Yeah, that's fine.
Kind of like wet signed.
Yeah.
As far as wills
and
power
for...
Oh, you go, sorry.
Is that just for the MetLife?
Yeah, correct.
Or Hub24 as well?
You've got the Hub form that I think we sent. So that one would be pretty similar. Is you just got to make sure that you've got that signed with pen, black or sometimes blue, and just make sure you've got it witnessed by two people who aren't beneficiaries.
Yeah, cool. All right, no worries. So non-lapsing binding, tick that. We're filling the updated name for the missus, the MetLife and Hub24. All right.
Correct. And just make sure that all the signatories are all on the same date. Otherwise, that gets rejected as well.
Signatures. Very sense. All right, cool.
Now, family-wise, Dustin, you've still got the three kids?
Yes.
Yep. If you ever want to go down that path with, like, the wills and power of attorneys, there are things that you can do down the line, such as a testamentary trust will. And what that lets you do is if you put a will in place and, for example, let's say your super goes to the will as well, you can actually set up like a trust fund to trigger so that when you pass away, a trust fund is created and you can sort of divvy out to the kids, you know, an income till they're 18 and then they can access it, like those types of strategies.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, that is something that we've been meaning to do as well.
Yep. So
organize the wills.
Three options for it. Obviously, lawyers. The other thing is you've got like will kits at the post office, which are pretty cheap, but obviously you've got to kind of do it yourself. And the second option is every state has a public trustee and they do set appointments for people to go set up wills and power of attorneys and all that kind of stuff.
What was the last one? Just say public
trustee. Public trustee. Yeah. That's actually the people that jump into it if you don't have a will in place and all of your assets go intestate. They're the ones that kind of jump
in. Just automatically goes to that if you've got nothing.
Well, they're the ones who kind of take over for distributing the estate, but that doesn't mean that they've put a plan in place with you.
Okay. All right. Probably
just they're just a third option.
Yeah. Well, what did most people do? Lawyers or will kits?
It's a mix. Some people just go for the will kit because they don't really have much in the way of plans, assets, or complexity, and those are really cheap. The moment
mine's
things
pretty
get
simple,
more
I guess,
assets,
isn't it?
Just
got a home and a super
and
that's
it. Home. Last time we checked, you had like a boat, car, ute, and some savings.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. So you can always start there. I don't know if the will kits actually let you trigger a testamentary trust will. I've never seen that before, but you can always have a look and see what's inside.
Yep.
Okay. What I might do too, Dustin, so last two things for the review is I'm just going to run through and update some of those assets details that we've got on file just to finish off your fact find. And just before I do that, just wanted to touch on that MetLife policy because you've had a policy anniversary and every year, obviously, step premiums, they go up, especially with age. Not so bad in the 30s, very bad in your 50s, can easily get to $10,000, $12,000 a year if you're not keeping an eye on it.
Wow.
$1,241.52. It is set to smoker's rate. So have you still been on the vapes?
No, I'm off. I've been off the whole time. Since before that, but I think it's because he goes, oh, yeah, you've only given up a couple of months ago.
Yeah, you've got to be 12
like
months.
6 months. Yeah, so I'll be well and truly off from now.
Okay, so I'll send you a non-smoker's declaration with MetLife, and that will probably chop 30, 40% of the price off.
Yeah, that's right. Non-smoker's declaration.
All right.
MetLife.
on the health side of things, have you had any like new diagnosis or any issues or obtained private health insurance or anything like that?
We have recently just done the whole family for like NIB, private health or whatever it is, I guess.
Cool. And for the cover that you've got, the $525,000 of life and disability, obviously that kind of pops out and pays off the mortgage, just under $100,000 left over, and then your super comes out on top. Thoughts on those amounts and how that would kind of play out for your family at the moment?
Yeah, no, that's more than enough, I think. I'll get them out of trouble for a while.
Yep. The only ones you don't have, obviously, is income protection, which is that monthly income replacement, and trauma.
Nah, see, I get that with work for the union fees. Yeah. So we get U+, which is pretty bloody good. I think we get up to like 90% of our wage or something.
Oh, that's brilliant. Better than the 70% outside of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think some of the boys are getting 1,800 a week in the hand.
Okay. I'll note that down on your file. So it just says income protection's in place through work, fully paid. And that's U+, did you say?
Yes. That's through the CFMEU.
CFMEU. And on the trauma side of things, that's the one you've got to pay out of pocket for heart attack, stroke, and cancer. Do you want to look at that one this year, get some quotes, or what are your thoughts?
No, I'll just leave it.
Easy.
Trauma ones.
All right. So have you still got that email open that I shot you through before with all the documents?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm just going to run through the last few documents in a sec, but just before I do, just a few of those details that I didn't get earlier. The employer, are you still with Borger Cranes or have you changed employers?
Yep. No, still Borgers for 10 years now, I think.
10 years. You guys have never declared bankruptcy or gone through a Part 9 debt agreement before, have you?
No.
Okay. Bit of a weird question, but are you a tax resident of a foreign jurisdiction, like of another country?
No.
Perfect. And just for the values of the assets, we had the home valued at $900,000 owing $450,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty close still this year?
Yeah. I think with the money in the offset, I think we only owe $380,000 or something. And the house would probably be around that $900,000, I'd say, still.
Yep. With the offset, we had the savings at $60,000 previously. Is it all still
up to 88.
Oh, well done. Offsets are very hard for people to mainly sort of, I mean, building savings up for a holiday is one thing, but sitting there with $80,000 in an account offsetting your mortgage is usually too tempting for most people, so well done.
Nah, look, we've got to do renos and that, so there might be a big chunk eventually, but I like seeing that money in there, and I know the more I spend out of it, the more the interest rate goes. Well, not the interest rate, but the more I get slammed with interest.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you got some big renos planned, like 10, 20, 30 grand
kitchen
worth?
Just 10, 20, yeah, kitchen.
Yep. And that's just over the next few years?
Yeah, sort of just chip away at it.
Cool. Any other assets that you've got besides the boat, car, and you?
No, that's about it, mate.
Cool. Neither loans?
Loan, I've got for a solar and battery for the roof.
Oh, okay. Do you mind if I just chuck down an estimated figure for how much is owing on that?
About 18, I think.
18,000. We had the boat listed at 25,000, the car at 45,000, and the ute at 15,000.
Yeah, it's all about the same, I guess.
Perfect. All right, so that's the fact find done, mate. The last few documents that are in there, so once you go past that hub report, there's a MetLife certificate of currency, and that's kind of a snapshot just to show you where the policy is currently sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, there is always a couple of fee-based documents. So from Oakview, there's a fee disclosure statement from us, which says what you've paid going backwards the last 12 months, and then an estimate going forwards for 12 months, because the fees are percentage-based and they fluctuate with your super. So it is 1.65%. Caps at $600,000. Obviously, if you hit $3 million, you don't want to be paying $30,000, $40,000 for the same service. It gets a bit ridiculous at that point.
Mm. Yep.
Now, all the figures quoted today are obviously after fees. Need to make sure that you're still getting there after all the fees and taxes and insurance premiums have all come out. Just double-checking you're still comfortable with our services for the next year or so.
I'll leave it for now.
Cool. The document with Hub 24 is called a fee consent form, and that's just from the super fund to say, hey, are you okay with these guys being listed as your advisors?
Yep.
The last two is a fee disclosure, a FSG, Financial Services Guide. It's got our updated licensing details, complaints procedure, all the different things we can advise on, services,
yep,
charges, and all the like. It's like your consumer protections document. It's got the government bodies, details, the ombudsman, all that kind of thing.
Yep.
And the lucky last one should be a tax file number opt-in document, just making sure that you're okay for us to hold your tax file number in the one place. And obviously we use it for setting up super funds and policies and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
Cool. Dustin, that's pretty much everything for the annual review. Have you got any questions on those documents?
Not that I could think of at the moment, to be honest.
Cool.
Sweet.
The plan going forward, so I'm kind of putting in a few notes there just to send you through the MetLife beneficiary, the non-smokers rates for MetLife, just to get that price trim down. Put in some notes there so that next year we can look at possibly reviewing the investments in the super, maybe going a bit more aggressive, and potentially looking at some other investments outside of super.
Yeah. So I can change at any time though, can't I?
Yeah, I mean, you can pretty much call up any time you want, and if you want, I could even set up like a quarterly or 6-monthly contact from our office, and that way we can have a few touch bases, and if there's any major changes in the economy or the news, we can always look at some extra advice at any point. We don't charge extra to change things. It's all in the ongoing service. So if we have to do, like, put together a statement of advice and change some stuff, we can do that whenever we need to.
Let's schedule a review for 6 months then.
Cool. So what happens with those touch points is every 6 months someone will touch base with you from our admin team. So you know how we do the annual reviews?
Yeah.
6 months, admin team will get in touch with you, give you a bit of an update and rundown, just see if there's been any major circumstance changes in your life, and if you want to prompt them to book in with an advisor for anything, they can do that.
Yeah, cool.
All right, so 6 monthly contacts all set. Any questions on the ideas or plans going forward?
No, I think I'm pretty happy with how things are performing. Well, it's a bit of a low year, but that's everyone.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
We'll see how the news goes. It'll be pretty interesting having that touch point in the new year, because the next 6 months are probably going to be pretty interesting in the markets, and that'll give us a good indication about whether it's a buying opportunity then or if it's time to kind of still mellow out for a bit.
Yeah, yeah, no, sounds good.
Cool, Dustin. Mate, that's everything for me. Anything before I let you go?
No, I'm just going through. So I just sign those two pages.
Yeah, so little signature boxes. You can usually just click next, 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 and it pulls you to the spot. But if you do have any questions, yeah, just give us a buzz.
Yeah. Righto, that's been... copy this, I mentioned, so it's not been... Righto. So that should be sent through to you now. Awesome. Okay, you'll send some documents through and I'll fill them out. I'll have a look into the wills as well.
Yeah.
And I'll do that non-smoker
thing. What state are you in? You've got...
New South Wales.
New South Wales. So New South Wales Public Trustee, just as an example. Yeah, if you literally just Google New South Wales Public Trustee, it comes up straight away. They're called the New South Wales Trustee and Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, Post Office has the will kits as well.
Yep. Awesome. I'll go there anyway, so I'll have a look.
Yeah, and just have a look in there and just keep an eye out for the bit that I was saying about testamentary trust inside the will, because that's more for the kids' side of things. You don't have to go that far in the first one, of course. It can always be a future thing, but just curious if it's actually in there. And if you can do that.
Yep. Right. Legend. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Have a fantastic day, mate. And we'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you, mate.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.